Mitchell, your host. My co-host today is my good friend Mark Klibbe.
Morning, Bo.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say it's all right.
This song's by George Harrison. He... talking about sun, S-U-N.
Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here.
For the purposes of our program,
here comes the sun.
We spell it S-O-N.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
When Jesus Christ walked this earth, he said, I'm the Son of God. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he also said, believe in me, and you will never die. You will pass from this life to the next life. Our program, You Get the Blessing, exists to introduce you each week to special guests that we think are impacting this community for Christ and the causes of His kingdom, the Word of God, the things that can positively influence our lives and change us for the better. And yet, once in a while, we don't have a guest. We do what we call tips from the team, and just often Bob Belts, who's my normal co-host, or Mark Klibbe, my friend and co-host today, we do our own programs. And today, I'm proud to announce to you all that I'm the guest.
What have you done, Bo?
Well, the reason I'm going to have Mark interview me today is my wife, Gary, and I have written a book called Grace Behind Bars, An Unexpected Path to True Freedom is the subtitle. Our foreword is by our good friend, Jerry Jenkins, who did a great job for us. And this book is being released March 1st. You can get it at the Focus on the Family bookstore, Hobby Lobby stores, Mardell bookstores. You can get information about it right now on Amazon.com. I'm sure it'll be in other bookstores. You can pre-order it now, and it is the story. It's almost our biography. So I'm going to have Mark interview me about this book. It's called Grace Behind Bars. I'm glad it's finished because writing a book is sort of not my cup of tea. And I've struggled with reliving again everything that happened 25 years ago. And it's been good for me, kind of therapeutic. And we wrote it in hopes that people would be encouraged by it. But Mark, why don't we start with you questioning me, and this program we hope will bless you listeners.
Okay, Bo, you know, I got to say that I've been listening to all those stories for the 10 plus years I've known you, and I'm glad you're able to put them into writing like that where people can read it and hopefully get blessed by it. Tell us about the book.
Well, the title Grace Behind Bars comes about because in October of 1984, I borrowed some money. I qualified for the loans. I was happy to borrow the money. I thought I was doing something heroic and noble, and loaned the money. The purpose of me borrowing the money on my own accounts were to reloan it to some friends of mine that were struggling financially. 7 years later, the government called me and told me or asked me if I would put a wire on and get that same group of friends to incriminate themselves. The SNL crisis had hit really hard in Denver. Many of my friends had gone bankrupt. And the word that I got from the government was some heads are going to roll and we're after these two people in particular. And I just kind of smiled and laughed and said, you know, I'm not going to put a wire on and get these guys to incriminate themselves. I don't think they're criminals. I don't see much of them anymore, but they were friends of mine from church. And no, I'm not going to play that game. And the government just said to me, well, we're going to fry you in that case. So over 6 months, I felt Gary, my wife, and I felt terrorized. ultimately leading to advice from two different law firms and other friends that we should plead guilty, hopefully finding something technically we did wrong to get the government to ease off of me and go somewhere else. So having been promised probation by the government, still feeling awkward about the whole process because I'd never had anything worse than a traffic ticket in my life. Been through ups and downs in real estates and not even thought a lawsuit was appropriate, but I was a chaplain of the Denver Nuggets. I was a co-pastor of a church that we had just started, member of Promise Keepers Board of Directors, but none of it felt right. None of it felt right. The whole process felt crazy, but everyone giving me this advice to just sign your name and go on with your life and don't let them continue to terrorize you and put a stop to it, I guess was the course of least resistance. So that's what we did. We pled guilty, and I was naive enough to think when I went in for this formal hearing to kind of put closure on the thing that the judge would look at me and say, keep up the good work in the community, Mr. Mitchell, and sorry for this little inconvenience. Instead, he kept referring to the term general deterrence. I think he said it five times, I believe, in general deterrence. He said, I know Mr. Mitchell was invited into this crime at the request of his friends. So what I pled guilty to was borrowing this money for the friends. I didn't know the term, but it was called straw borrowing. I was like a middleman. I knew they couldn't borrow any more money. I borrowed it. So on a loan app, if I would have just written, I am borrowing this money to reloan it to my two friends, there would have never been a discussion, but there wasn't a loan app. The banker asked me to borrow it. I signed notes. The two guys signed notes to me. We repaid the money. No money lost. So again, thinking the judge was going to be nice about it, he kept using the word general deterrence, which is another way of saying making an example. I'm going to make an example of Mr. Mitchell. And he said, the most lenient I can be, sir, is to sentence you to 11 months in prison. So did the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office intentionally just bait me into this and then break a promise to me? I don't know. That's what it felt like. But
they promised you a plea bargain, didn't they?
It was a plea bargain, and I agreed. They promised me probation. So probation is what was promised. 11-month sentence in prison is what I got. That's quite a bit different. Had I even been confronted with the thought of going to prison, I might have made the choice. I probably would have made the choice to fight them, bring in 1,000 witnesses if they wanted them, and discuss these loans. But as it worked out, right from the start, I said to my wife, and we say this in Grace Behind Bars, we tell the story, that I said to my wife and children, you know, go hug the U.S. attorney. He's a good guy. This is a tough job. He's used to seeing bad people. And I even had the feeling that he wished he hadn't started this process with me after we got to know each other. He probably wouldn't say that. He'd probably say I'm a criminal, but it felt like he was doing his best, and he just got sideswiped by this judge who just decided, nope, Mr. Mitchell's going to prison. So from the very start, I said to my family, you know, when bad things happen, you either surrender or you rebel. And we were not going to change everything that we believed in terms of Christ. We were not going to rebel. We were going to make this a God deal. So legally, none of it ever made sense. So I was pretty comfortable from the first moment that I self-committed to prison on January 6th of 1992, that this was somehow for our good. God was going to work this out. And that I really went to prison because of my own ego, my own pride, my own self-effort, my style of life. I was just going too fast. I was too big for my britches. And in Grace Behind Bars, our book tells the story of sort of my background, Gary's background, why I was that way, and why actually the handpicked method of sifting that God had for me was a trip to federal prison. So off I went.
That's a tough thing, to say the least, to go through. And I'm just so sorry that you had to go through that. You know, a little bit of the backstory on that you've already given. You know, one of the things that that I've gotten out of the book was that you give an insight to the prison life that nobody, you know, most people don't have a clue about. You want to give a story on how that, you know, looked, or, you know, the book is got a great lesson to, you know, God showing up, you know, in a really tough situation that you went through. But there's some really interesting stories inside that I find intriguing.
Well, yeah, I'll say this. Whatever the perception is in the world of white-collar prison setting, I never saw it. I never saw a bowling alley or a tennis court. To me, it felt like I was dropped off at the planet Mars, and it was tough. I mean, the first week, I was pretty sure somebody's made a mistake and I'm not supposed to be here. Or I also had the thought, I must be a really bad person and something's really, really wrong with me, because I was in a 6x9 cell with a guy that wouldn't say a word to me. And it is beyond scary. It puts you on your toes. I was given good advice when I got to the prison by this lady that kind of checked me into the place. And she asked me if I had any questions, just to tell you how intimidating the whole place was. And I said to her, yes, when do I get raped and when do I get beat up? And she kind of took her reading glasses off and said, you're serious, aren't you? And I said, yeah, that's about as serious a question as I've ever asked anybody. And she said, well, you won't if you keep your mouth shut and mind your own business. She said, if you see something, you didn't see it. If you hear something, you didn't hear it. Just act as though those things didn't happen. Mind your own business. And she said, you'll feel like yourself about 5 minutes a day, and the rest of the time, you're just trying to get through, get by. So, yeah, it's plenty tough. And did I have the toughest of the tough in prison? No, I'm sure I didn't. But a 6x9 cell, a lockdown situation, 24 hours a day in that cell block was pretty strange for someone coming from where I was coming from. But I got through that. My family came to visit me, and it was impossibly tough. We just kind of sat there and cried and looked at each other like, what have we done? And I, you know, I said to my wife and kids, and we say this in the book, that my own stupidity and recklessness in business is what caused this judge to have the right to take a shot at me and tear into me. Was it appropriate? No, not in our opinion, but and he was used to seeing bad people. So for all I know, he still thinks I'm a really, really bad person, because he treated me like I was Al Capone. And answer to your question, yeah, prison food was awful. Inmates would jokingly cook worms into the food often. The conditions were awful. I mean, the poor guys arrested off the street that were thrown in this detention center where I was for a little while, you can't have, their clothes don't fit. It takes you a while to get a shirt and pants and shoes that fit, and it's a painful process. And most of the guys in there were involved in drug dealing or gun sales or, you know, other real live crimes. There were only a handful of guys like me who had been involved in some kind of bank fraud or other nonviolent crimes. But yeah, the whole process was tough. And yet that's not really what the book's about. The book that Gary and I wrote, we finally got around to the fact 25 years later that even though we said it to each other at the time, there are worse things you could go through in life than this. But this was pretty tough. But losing a child or a divorce or the doctor calling you and saying, hey, we just finished your blood work and you have this disease and this many months to live. Gary and I finally got in touch with the fact that we wanted to write Grace Behind Bars, and we wanted to encourage people that with God in control through your relationship with Jesus Christ, he can take any situation, turn it inside out, upside down. First of all, if you did something wrong, which I did, like I said, I was too big for my britches, moving too fast, God forgives you and gives you a fresh start. If you didn't do anything wrong, Romans 8:28 says that he'll work all things together for good if you are following him, loving him in relationship with Christ. So the good news is, no matter what the world may throw at you, maybe you got a call from the FBI, if not your doctor, but no matter what prison you may feel like you're in, God can make the best of it and actually not only get you through it, but help you to overcome it, come out the other side, and have a better life. So I'm comfortable now looking at Grace Behind Bars, this book, our telling of this story, and specifically what happened to me. I'm comfortable saying anything short of going to prison, I probably wasn't going to listen. I probably was not going to get it. And that's why the details had to be orchestrated this way. And Grace Behind Bars, if you want to pick it up and read it, will hopefully encourage you that, hey, there is hope, because I really lost that hope for a while. I had an underlying sadness about me that drove everybody crazy, because I've always been a pretty joyful, happy, optimistic person. But coming out of this, I was crushed and broken into the arms of God, thinking, I must be a real jerk and a hopeless case, and I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to see anybody. I had, like I say, this underlying sadness about me, but eventually kind of woke up and went on with other things in my life for the last 25 years that are hopefully less me, more about God, more about teamwork, more comfortable with living out now some of the lessons I learned while I was in prison.
You shared a little bit about what you're hoping people will get out of the book. You might want to talk a little bit more about that. But who do you see, you know, reading this book and really getting a lot out of it? You know, obviously you talked about, and you talked about this many times, and you just mentioned it, that we're all in some sort of prison. This life can be pretty tough, and we might not go to literal prison, but you know, maybe expand on that a little bit.
Well, you and I see it every day, Mark, in the ministry we do together with Crosswalk Fellowship and Game Day Memories, that prison figuratively comes in all forms. And it took my trip to a literal prison to teach me some lessons I hope that can be applied in other people's lives. So the people we hope will read the book are people not just interested in us as friends or co-workers, but as we hope people who read the book might be thinking, I need a way out of my suffering and my pain, and I want to hear their story and be encouraged by the lessons they learned. We actually have a section in here called Keys to Freedom. You want to stay free in Christ from the hopelessness and the prison of doubt that you could drop into like I had, then Grace Behind Bars might be a good roadmap to point you in that direction. So we hope people that just need help and encouragement and hope in their own lives would read Grace Behind Bars. Focused on the Family and the folks at Tyndale Press helped us with this. Jerry Jenkins wrote the foreword. There are 20 endorsements from people all around the country that read the book and said, yeah, I'm happy to write an endorsement because this is what the book did for me. I guess I'm saying we hope it's a positive thing for people. You'll have to go through some of the backstory and some of the prison stories like we did, but you get to a point where the answer to every question you have is Jesus Christ. And I got to a point where I really said to my roommates in prison the night before I was released, if I haven't learned every single lesson that God wants me to learn through this experience, I pray that the paperwork will all blow up and I won't be released to go home. I'll stay here until I learn what he has for me to learn. So if we see ourselves as students in God's school rather than victims, it's a much happier, healthier, productive way to live. So even though I felt like the judge had killed a fly with a sledgehammer, I mean, I didn't have to pay a fine. There was no restitution because the loans were repaid. There was no money lost. I didn't have to do a day of probation like every other inmate did, 5 years or 10 years. I did my time. I paid what this judge wanted me to pay in terms of my debt to society. And slowly but surely, I got back on my feet and went forward with Christ, my family, my friends. We lost a few friends through the process, but most friends thought, wow, can't believe this is happening, and they stood strong with us. But I guess I'm saying it's a book about hope, and it's a book that specifically says, here's some things you can do to get ready spiritually, because we were ready spiritually. We didn't know this was going to come our way, but our roots were in Christ, and when Satan shook us up with this jolt, I wasn't quite ready for some of the stuff coming, but spiritually, we were ready in advance of this disaster hitting. And like I say, not only did we survive, we got closer as a family and moved forward, partly by saying from the start, no, we're not going to see ourselves as victims. We're going to see ourselves as students in God's school, and we're going to learn what he has for us. So every situation you're in, make it a God deal. That's what God wants with us. That's the partnership he's interested in having with us. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. I love the thought that, you get thrown in. We're all going to have, in this life, we'll have trouble.
That's right, one out of thing the mouth that of Jesus, Christ.
Yes. And if you haven't gone through trouble, you will go through trouble. And it might not be easy, and I might not be fast, but you'll get through it. I'm quoting Max Lucado there. And as he put it, with God's help, you'll get through it.
So the name of the book is Grace Behind Bars. Like I say, March 1st is the release date. Amazon.com right now, you can pre-order the book. It's paperback, so it's not too expensive. And eventually be in Hobby Lobby stores. Our friend David Green, the founder of Hobby Lobby, read the book, was excited to offer it to the public. So I hope you'll pick up a copy of Grace Behind Bars. My wife, Gary, wrote it with me, and she is a good writer. I'm not much of a writer, so I need a lot of help from John Duckworth, who helped us get through this. But it is, Mark, you were witness to what a long, tough process it is to get a 320-page book out.
Yeah, and I think it was, just the timing was right for right now, because it was pretty raw to begin with, I'm sure. And
I wasn't quite ready for, I guess, 20 years to talk about it much, but I still cry thinking about what I put my friends and my family through, because I was such a bonehead, but I joyfully cry now, thinking I like myself better since prison. Certainly not perfect, even close, but better approach to wife, children, a little safer to be around, and thanking God that I'm not going back to prison unless I'm asked to go back as a guest speaker, because tough lessons to learn, but when pain comes into your life, don't waste your pain. Yeah. Kay Arthur taught us, be ready spiritually, submit to Christ, and watch what he can do and how he can forgive you, give you a fresh start, and change things for the better.
I think it's one of those books that once you start, you won't be able to put down. And some great, just like I just said, just great stories in there that'll just capture your attention, and I think you'll love it.
I was going to give you a book, Mark, but the way you're talking now, I'm going to make you buy one because you sound like you're interested. So I'm Bo Mitchell. That's Mark Klibbe. We've been talking about Grace Behind Bars, release date March 1st. It's a book my wife Gary and I have written about our lives. So pick one up. Be encouraged that Jesus Christ has all the answers to every question you might have in life. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week on You Get the Blessing.
See you, Bo.
Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.